been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayambhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning to go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast. In this episode of the Far East Travels Podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit more. I know I've done this in the past, but lately I've been getting more questions and queries about places to retire in Southeast Asia in particularly. So in this episode, I'm going to cover four different countries in Southeast Asia, pros and cons, or how easy it is to get a retirement visa in any one of those places in this episode of the Far East Travels Podcast. So thank you so much for listening. This is John Sabo coming to you from Da Nang, Vietnam. And just before we get going, just want to shout out to some of those cities listening to the Far East Travels Podcast this week, including Sydney and Melbourne in Australia, Mississauga in Canada, and New Taipei City in Taiwan. Now, New Taipei, I believe it's still the largest city in Taiwan, not Taipei itself. I used to describe New Taipei and Taipei as Taipei, which is the, I guess, the formal older city, is kind of like a donut hole, and New Taipei is the donut. So New Taipei kind of surrounds Taipei in the center, and it's one of the most densely populated places in East Asia. So welcome, New Taipei City, Taiwan. And couple things. Don't forget to, if you want to help others discover the Far East Travels Podcast, write a review in the iTunes Store. I'll leave a link, or Apple Podcast. I'll leave a link in the show notes, and just follow that link. Make sure you're signed into your iTunes account. Rate the podcast out of 5 stars. Write a review. You'll help others discover the podcast. Also, big shout out to my patrons who are wonderful and support me every month. Thank you so much. That really helps. It definitely helps me to put more time and energy into the podcast. So I really appreciate that. If you want to help out in that way, or with any kind of donation, I'll leave a couple of links in the show notes. Just follow those, either the Patreon page or another way that you can support the Far East Travels Podcast. So lately, again, you know, even with the pandemic, I mean, people are thinking ahead of time. Some people are thinking about retiring in Southeast Asia 5, 10 years, even longer. I've spoken with some people that still have kids in school, but are kind of looking down the road as a possible place where they could live and travel around. The ease of traveling, if you love this part of the world, is just amazing. And, you know, there's just absolutely no way, if I was living in, you know, Canada or the U.S., I would have been able to see as many places as I had in the amount of time that I've had living in Asia. I mean, the ease to jump on a plane and be in a completely different place in 3 hours is super attractive. So I know a lot of people think about that for the retirement years. Some people just want to root themselves down somewhere, you know, stay in Bangkok or Chiang Mai and just kind of live their life of retirement years in places like that and just do a lot of living there, which is pretty cool too. So I'm going to cover four countries that come up a lot. One does not have a retirement visa. The other three do. So having the retirement visa just makes it a lot easier to not worry about, you know, crossing the border, coming back and forth from the country you're retiring in or basing yourself in if you have a 1 year or 5 year or longer retirement visa. I mean, it just makes life a lot more easier. So I'm going to talk about that mostly. I am not an expert, by the way, in some of the details for a lot of these countries, particularly healthcare and things like that. So don't contact me if you want to have more questions answered about things like that. What I can help with, or what I typically am best at, is explaining to people, you know, that it is a big decision and that there's a lot of cultural factors involved, as well as, you know, just simple things like seasons and that, that'll be a lot different if you're coming from, you know, a country that maybe has four seasons and you're adjusting to, you know, two seasons, a wet and a dry season. And the heat, and also really the most important thing is, you know, being able to adjust to a completely different way of life and around people that do things a lot differently than you're used to doing, and being okay with that. That's probably the thing I can help you with the most, having lived in a couple of different places and traveled around all of these places too. I do understand the nuances of these cultures, but what I would ask you to do is, if you have more questions about the actual particulars of visas and other types of things like Medicare and stuff like that, that you really direct those to experts that can help you with that. So we're going to talk about Malaysia, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand. So first off, let's talk about Malaysia and their My Second Home visa program. Now, I've been going to Malaysia for many years. It's one of my favorite places to visit in Southeast Asia. It is, you know, one of the most multicultural places, I would say, in Southeast Asia. And so the people are very welcoming to foreigners. It's very friendly. English is widely spoken throughout peninsular Malaysia and Malaysian Borneo. So, and I've traveled through both. So it makes it very easy if you come from a language or from a country where English is the first language. Makes it very easy, of course, for daily things, which can be a challenge if you're not living in a country like that. Even where people do speak English, it might not be, it might be just basic English. So that makes it a lot easy. I've heard lots of people rave about Malaysia as a place to retire in. I mean, they have, you know, it's a wonderful tropical climate, friendly culture, you know, lots of things to see and do, some of the best street food in the world. And they have this 10-year visa called the Malaysia My Second Home Visa. And this is for people over 50. And there's a couple of different ways you can get into this visa program, one of which is make a deposit of 150,000 ringgit or $36,000 U.S. And prove that you're or prove that you have a retirement income of $2,500 U.S. a month from a government pension plan. So those are the two things. If you don't have a government pension plan, if you have like other resources, then you're probably better off to put the money in the bank. Kind of a little bit like the Thai system as well, except it's more money than what they require in Thailand. And then after 1 year, you can withdraw 50,000 of that ringgit. It's about $12,000 to use to buy a car, use for a down payment on a home, or if you need to give your children some money for education. So that's the main thing. There's some other particulars as well. And I think, you know, you have to go through their program. There might be a health exam as well, but it's not a real extensive health exam. And just some other particulars that you'd probably have to do as well before you can enter into that program. So they have like all kinds of amazing activities all over Malaysia, from mountain climbing to jungle safaris, some of the best beaches in the world. As I said, some of the best street food in Asia. It's multicultural. So you have Chinese, you have Malay, you have Indian style food. And it's wonderful. I mean, I always enjoy my time in Malaysia. A very friendly people. And you know, some of the friendliest people I've ever met in my life almost anywhere was in Malaysian Borneo. So, I mean, wonderful. Easy place to sort of get to know people and know the culture. And as I said before, English is widely spoken. So you have to have some money, proof of income, or the deposit to make this work. You cannot do visa runs like I think you once could in Malaysia. So for many foreigners, when you enter Malaysia, you can get an automatic 3-month visa. But if you think you can sort of get past this system and just kind of do visa runs. They don't allow that anymore. And it's really up to the discretion of the officer that sees you through immigration. So if you do 3 months and then you go somewhere else and then you come back, they can easily just say, look, here's 48 hours, but that's it. And you can protest that, but it might not do you any good. So they could actually let you stay another 3 months. They don't have to. It's really up to their discretion. So I've heard that they allow you to stay for up to 6 months in a year, but they could say no as well. So, you know, I think you can probably spend 6 months within the calendar year there. So you can probably go back and forth a few times, but it probably wouldn't make a good base for you unless you're going to get into this program. So, of course, one of the ones that I get the most questions about is retiring in Vietnam. And there are people that are retired here. They've been here for years, but there actually is no retirement visa program at this time in Vietnam. And I really don't know if there is going to be one in the future. It's possible they're building more infrastructure here and more resorts. Perhaps in the future, there might be a demand or a need to bring in more foreigners that aren't necessarily here to invest or work. So it's a possibility. But it, to me, it just strikes me as a nation that's really more interested in attracting investors at this point and foreign talent than retirees like, say, Thailand or perhaps even Cambodia would be. So people here in Da Nang, there are Americans, there's expats from all over the world that have been living here for years. And what they've done is just the visa runs. And there's been no issues with that in the past. Very, very few issues with being able to do that in Vietnam. But of course, because there's a pandemic right now, it's not happening. And but people are being able to stay here for long periods of time because of the issue with transportation at this point. So people do retire here, but it's not really a legitimate retirement place. But if you were thinking, if this doesn't change in the next few years and you really wanted to come to Vietnam as kind of a retirement base, then as long as you're traveling around, it probably wouldn't be an issue. So if you were going to come to Ho Chi Minh City or Hanoi or Da Nang and sort of make this as your base, and then you're always going to be out traveling every couple months or so, you know, I'm going to go to Malaysia next month. And then after that, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to fly to Thailand, and then I'm going to cross a border a few months later into Cambodia. If you're always leaving the country and then you just come back on a new visa, that's not an issue. But if you are the type of person that kind of wants to stay put, or maybe only wants to do one trip a year or something like that, then this might not be the place for you. Currently, people are allowed to extend their visa without leaving, but that's just because of the pandemic. In normal situations, it's not as easy and might not be in the future. So that's the downside of trying to retire in Vietnam. But as I said, there's been people that have been doing it for years and have had no issues at all. So it has one of the lowest cost of living indexes in the region. No question about that. It's one of the cheapest places to live in Southeast Asia. It could be the cheapest. Healthcare is sufficient. It's not the best, I would say. If you have more complicated issues, or when some people sometimes have more complicated health issues, they will seek medical treatment in Thailand or Malaysia. And you can get medical insurance that can cover you within the region. You can get medical insurance that will cover you around the world. But if you just want to get medical coverage that would cover you in the region, Southeast Asia, and you want to have that option, you can do that as well. Tropical climate, beautiful beaches, vibrant cities. I mean, some of the best food in the world, no question about that. Wonderful culture, very friendly, outgoing people. So no problems with that. They like foreigners. They're very welcoming. But there are things, you know, in all of these countries that, you know, might not be good for you or might not make it the right fit for you. And one thing I will say about Vietnam is, as wonderful as it is, I mean, there is a noise issue here, a noise pollution issue. And recently the government is trying to crack down on this, particularly in Ho Chi Minh City and Da Nang. And a lot of businesses here will crank up their music in order to attract more customers, whether they're a stereo shop or a bar on the beach. I mean, this is just something that's normal here. Lots of loud music everywhere. And it's noise pollution. I mean, it's very hard on people to listen to that all the time. So the government is, knowing that, is trying to do something about it. They're cracking down on noise, people that are doing these types of things, and they're actually getting people to sign off to pledge that they're not going to do this in the future. And then come June, they will start apparently giving out fines. Now, I mean, I've talked to people that have lived here for years that don't believe it's going to happen, but, you know, we'll see. I've noticed a little bit of a change myself here in Da Nang in the last couple of weeks or so. It seems a little more quiet in some places where it wasn't a few weeks ago, but it could be just some kind of a seasonal thing or something. I don't know. But karaoke is probably the worst contributor to this, and the mobile karaoke machine, which is rampant throughout the country. And it's caused a lot of violent altercations as well between neighbors complaining about the music. So, and not really good quality music either, of course, because it's karaoke. So this is kind of an issue. So, I mean, if this was something that really bothered you, then this might not be a long-term place. But if they are going to clean up the situation, then, you know, it might not be an issue. There's people that honk horns all the time. One of the reasons they do is because they don't just do it for fun. They do it because they're warning that they're coming through a four-way intersection or something like that. And there's a lot of, like, places that don't have a lot of traffic, that don't have lights, and they don't have four-way stops like they might in your country. So when people drive through these places, they always toot their horn, whether they're on a motorbike or a car, a couple times as they're advancing towards the four-way intersection. So there's a lot of horn honking here as well that can drive people crazy. That I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the roosters. The loud music's a little bit definitely trying and really hard to get used to. But, you know, every country will have something like that that you will have to find a way to adjust, because that's just the way it is and it's not going to change for you. So keep that in mind for any of these countries. And you have to realize that, you know, I call it the plus-plus system. When people, you know, they envision life in another country, they kind of forget that they're going to be giving up a lot of things that they already enjoy where they are. And things that are very easy to do where they are will become much more difficult where they go. So it's not plus plus. You will give up some things in order to get these things. And just keep that in mind when you're doing your planning. That's why I always encourage people to spend as much time as they can. Don't make a hard decision on, I'm going to retire in this country. Come and live here for a few years or a couple years or several months. Travel around and see, you know, where you feel most suited to, what feels like the best fit for you. And that's why some people like Vietnam, some people like Thailand better, and some people really like the next country, which is Cambodia. So Cambodia used to be really easy to get a visa. Almost anybody could get a long-term visa there if you just applied for the e-visa. This was back in 2015 when I went. It would have been really easy just to get the e-visa, and then at the end of the month, at the end of the 30 days or before the 30 days is up, you just extend it to a 1 year. They had the business visa back then. That was really easy to get. You just paid $250 or whatever it was, and then you could just stay there a year. Now, you can't do that as easily anymore. You have to have proof of a business and different things like that. So, but if you want this retirement visa, it's probably still one of the easiest ones to get, I would say. You simply apply for the e-visa before you enter Cambodia, or on entering Cambodia. There's a couple of different visas. You want to get the e-visa because that's the one you can extend. It's only $35. And then after that, you can apply for the retirement visa if you're 55 or older and no longer working. So you can't be semi-retired or have another business or anything like that. If you are in business, then you need to apply for a business visa, and then there'll be certain criteria that you will need. But that's possible as well if you want to keep working and doing other things. It's not hard to do that for Cambodia. But if you want a retirement visa, you have to be 55 or older and no longer working, and you can't go back to working either. Otherwise, you'll have to give up your visa. So you'll have to have a proof of income and like a pension or something, and then the visa cost is $285 a year. And it's a multi-entry visa, so you can come and go as many times as you want. So if you want to stay put, if you're in Siem Reap or Phnom Penh or Battambang or wherever you choose to live. It's no problem. If you want to leave and come back and forth, that's no problem as well. Very vibrant culture. I mean, really sweet people and very gentle in nature. It's very much a reflection of the Buddhist culture there. I really appreciate that when I'm there. It's very different than other countries, maybe a little more closer to Thailand, but still different. Cost of living, in my opinion, is a little bit higher than in Vietnam. If you're, say, in a place like Phnom Penh, the rents are, you know, similar, I would say, to Ho Chi Minh City, but the cost of food maybe is higher. You know, people might argue with me about that because, you know, maybe they're used to buying the really cheap street food there or something. But in my opinion, food costs and other costs are a little bit higher in Cambodia than some of the other countries. They have to import a lot of food products because they don't have a big manufacturing industry there of food. So a lot of products come in from Thailand or Vietnam. And so if you like those products, you can get those there, as well as lots of food products from Western countries like the U.S. and Australia. I don't think I've ever seen as many different types of food imported from U.S. or Australia, or for that matter, almost anywhere else in Southeast Asia than in Cambodia. So there's lots of that stuff if you enjoy that. The infrastructure is not as good as other countries in the region, like Thailand or Vietnam. There's water shortages still nearing the end of the dry season. They have power outages as well. So that'd be something to keep in mind when you're negotiating a lease or something, to make sure they have a generator, or, you know, how do you deal with the water and stuff like that? All those questions should be asked when you're signing a lease or renting a place, especially in that, that dry season. So, something to think about as well. You know, again, each place rings differently depending on the individual. So, you know, it may be a wonderful place for you to retire. It may not. You don't know unless you try it out yourself. And then Thailand, the last place, of course, is probably without a doubt the most popular place for foreigners to retire. And it's a sector that Thailand has been growing and nurturing for several years. I mean, they have you know, the proper retirement visas there, actually different types of retirement visas, some kind of premium visas that offer extra services, and they're thousands of dollars a year. Some people buy those, or the basic one I'm only going to talk about is the one where you either have to put 25,000 US or 800,000 baht in a Thai bank account, or have a proof of income of 65,000 baht a month, which is $2,000 a month. So either one of those, along with a few other things, will get you in the door for a visa, a retirement visa for Thailand. And then, as I said, there's premium visas that you can get, which, you know, they have these red carpet services and different things that you get with these. They're thousands of dollars a year, but they don't require extra visa stamps or trips to the immigration office for renewals or anything like that. So you can get a 5-year one. You can get one that's good for 20 years as well, but they're very expensive. Now, although the cost of living has risen in Thailand over the years, it really at one time was a very cheap place to live. And, you know, there might be some people argue with me that it still is. And I'm sure, you know, there's any place that you go to, if you find a small little room in a small town somewhere, of course, it's not going to be very expensive and the food will be really cheap in that town. But are you going to be able to function and live in a town like that? Like, you know, is it going to have enough for you as a foreigner that's going to make you feel comfortable? So it's not going to be like Bangkok or Chiang Mai. So if you're in one of those cities, then it's probably a little bit more expensive than it once was. But they're probably, I would say Thailand is probably the most comfortable place for a Westerner to live in Southeast Asia, like for like living things, for, you know, having services that are, you know, spoken in English, like medical, dental, you know, just ease of doing business, ease of transactions, things like that is fairly, I think, easy and comfortable for foreigners. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of foreigners live in Thailand. And there's a huge expat communities there, and, you know, pretty good infrastructure as well. And I mean, you could literally, if you're living in Bangkok, you could eat Western food every day. You could totally, there's enough restaurants there, different places, fast food places that are Western, that you could, I don't know why you'd want to, but you could literally just live on American style fast food, 7 days a week in Bangkok if you wanted to, but I don't know why you'd want to. Now, something to keep in mind too, that you need to think about when you're thinking about retiring these places, are local laws. And they might seem really strange to you as a foreigner, but they're just the way things are done in those places. Like some very strange traffic laws in Thailand and other places too, in Japan even, things that would, you might shake your head. Why would that be? Why would it be my fault for this or that? But that's just the way it is there. And they have a very, very high conviction rate in Thailand as well. So it's something to keep in mind, especially too, if you think you're going to be driving a car, or you want to drive a car there, that would be something to keep in mind and look into those local laws to see if, you would be okay with any of those things that could possibly happen. And then, of course, one of the most famous ones, especially of late with all the protests, is Les Majestes, which is the law that forbids any negative talk about the royal family. And if you're caught or if somebody reports you, you can go to jail for several years. So that's another thing, it doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen to foreigners and has happened to foreigners in the past. So that's no matter where you live, you need to look at those local laws and make sure that, you're in compliance with them, because they're going to be different than where you come from, no doubt. So Thailand, of course, has a wonderful local culture, lots of interesting places to visit. I mean, some of the best beaches in the world, places to hike. I mean, they have everything there. And they do have very good health care. And it's relatively inexpensive when compared to the same services in the West. And as I said, probably one of the most comfortable places for foreigners to live in the region. English is fairly widely spoken in the main cities and popular towns. So that's it for now. Anyways, I'll probably go into more as we get closer to the end of this pandemic, and maybe things will change. Maybe things will open up for some countries and they might start programs, and we'll get into that in the future. But do, take your time. You don't have to make a decision on that particular country that you're thinking of. Live in a couple of places first. Take a year before you really decide if that's the place for you. But Southeast Asia can be just an absolutely wonderful place to live and retire. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. Don't forget, you can also follow me on Instagram, John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram, on Facebook. It's the Far East Travels podcast page, or the Far East Travels page, or John Sabo official page. And on Twitter, it's Far East_Travels. And again, thanks for your support. A couple of links in the show notes, and really appreciate your support for the Far East Travels podcast. Thanks again. And in the future, when we are all traveling again, and we will, I wish you safe travels. Namaste, tashi delay, and peace.